welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller Podcast for the 14th day of October 2019. It's Columbus Day. Or if you have the misfortune, as I do, to live in Washington, D.C., or near Washington, D.C., close enough, it is Indigenous Peoples Day. Yes, I'm Derek Hunter. Welcome to the show. Yes, last week, Washington, D.C., their city government, passed emergency legislation to declare Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day. If you, it's funny because D.C. is clamoring now for statehood. We need statehood. We deserve statehood. If you pass emergency legislation to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, or you pass emergency legislation to change the name of any holiday, you don't need to be a state. We don't need you as a state. We got you covered. We got Massachusetts. We got California. We're all full up on crazy. Okay? So pass. Hard pass on your statehood. Oh, it drives me nuts. But it's Columbus Day, damn it. That's what it is for me. That's what it will always be for me. I do love how Apple and the iPhone, they put all these ridiculous holidays in your calendar. Like, if you know, they put Christmas in there, they put Thanksgiving in there, but then they put every Muslim holiday in there. And it's like, why would I want that? I think some people would want that, sure. But they could add it or maybe make it an option. But if you want, you know, American national holidays in there, they throw in all these other things. And on Columbus Day, they have Columbus Day, and they also have Indigenous Peoples Day. You have to just basically wipe all the holidays off your calendar and enter them all manually, or they just throw in all this PCBS. Having that much time on your hands must be a luxury. It has to be. It's got to be nice. I don't know anything about it. Anyway, you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com, if you want a complaint about Columbus Day or whatever, or anything else. I'll take all comers. By the way, this is a relatively short show. It's going to be about 35, 40 minutes, depending on how long my setup rant is, just because it is a holiday. But it's a special show because last Friday, just the Friday past, I went and tracked down. By that, I mean I scheduled an appointment with and set up an interview to discuss things with Dennis Prager. If you don't know Dennis Prager, he is just one of the smartest people ever. There are very few people. When I first met Christopher Hitchens, I was terrified. I just thought, oh my God, don't say anything stupid. Don't make a fool of yourself. If he uses words that you don't understand, pretend you understand them. Don't ask. Just don't let him know that you're a moron. And I didn't. I kept it secret because I was terrified of him. Then we ended up becoming friends. And when you get drunk with somebody, things change. And it was overblown. But Dennis Prager is that kind of guy where you just, if you listen to him at all, if you hear him at all, you think, God, this guy's smart. God, this guy knows his stuff. And it causes me to up my game, I think. But it also comes out of nervousness. You can decide. I will say on one note that he kept grabbing the microphone, going back and forth. So you hear the kind of, that's part of the problem with this microphone setup. That's why I set up the Patreon account, which is Patreon/ Derek Hunter Podcast. Because the equipment needs to be upgraded so you can have two people talking on mic at the same time. But other than that, he was holding it too close, too. He's kind of loud. I'm able to, he doesn't know this microphone, so I don't blame him for that. Although I did try to explain it. So the handoff between the two and the tone difference in his voice and my voice, just be prepared for it. I don't think it's that bad, but I listen to this, you know, directly from the source. So you might think, it depends on how you listen to it. Anyway, let's tell you about our sponsor right now, Life Change Tea. Let me tell you about Life Change Tea. It's a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I notice I feel so much better, and I can't tell you how much more energy I have. How does it work? Life Change Tea is a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. And even if you don't think you got them, you got them. You're coated on the inside. Let's face it, our food was different 60 years ago. minimally processed, free of pesticides, nourishing and healthy for your body. Today, not so much. GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, and heavy, heavy processing have depleted nutrition from our food. It's no wonder you feel run down. You need to clean that stuff out so your body can absorb the nutrition that is remaining in our food. Try it for yourself. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Get more energy. I drink it every day. Life Change Tea is not available in stores. Go to GetTheTea.com. Check it out for yourself. A lot of you have, and they can attest to it. Follow the instructions. Don't chug it. It ain't no chugging tea. It's the tea that makes you go. Enter promo code Derek at checkout, and you get free shipping. Okay. Dennis Prager and I, we covered a lot of ground. We covered his new documentary that is being released at the end of this month called No Safe Spaces that he did with Adam Carolla. We talk about how he and Adam Carolla became friends. You'd think two exactly opposite people. Adam Carolla is this atheist, comedian, Hollywood guy, and Dennis Prager is a Jewish guy who writes a lot of books about all sorts of religions, and very learned, multiple languages. And Adam Carolla barely graduated high school, but they have become fast friends, and he explains why. We talk about the movie. We talk about hope for the future. Is there hope for the future? He was at the Values Voters Summit, gave a great speech. You can find it online, I'm sure. And talk about his fight with YouTube over Prager University. If you don't know what Prager University is, it is videos that are 5 minutes long maximum that just explain various issues of the day and of general importance or interest. They have celebrities on there. They have academics on there. They have journalists on there. Anybody and everybody who's right for that particular topic does a Prager University video. They're very informative, very well done, perfectly well done. And, for example, as you'll hear, this is how insane YouTube is. They've age restricted. They've restricted some of them, saying that they could have sensitive content in them, including the one about the Ten Commandments. Now, what about the Ten Commandments would be need a warning label attached to it? Well, according to YouTube, it's because it mentions murder. You can't make this up. Tell me there's no liberal bias out in Silicon Valley. These people are insane, but Dennis Prager isn't. And thank God he's on our team, because I sure as hell wouldn't want to face him on the battlefield of ideals. Before we get to Dennis Prager, and I'll have a little bit of a wrap-up at the end. Before we get to Dennis Prager, just want to acknowledge our other sponsor. Man, and it's been crazy. Every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. Text the word daily to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself, be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to give your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text the word daily to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source. Text the word daily to 88022. Again, just the word daily to 88022 today. This message was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again. All right, somebody who doesn't need to be made great again because they've been great all along is Dennis Prager, host of Daily Radio Show. He's written more books than I've read, columnist, radio host, you name it. He gives a great speech, too. He's one of those guys who's just got one of them all-time voices that you could listen to forever. So, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, me with Dennis Prager. All right, we're here at the Values Voters Summit with the one and only Dennis Prager, Renaissance man, Prager University, the Dennis Prager Show. More books than I've read he's written, and he's here talking about his new documentary, No Safe Spaces, which you made with Adam Carolla. I find it absolutely fascinating. I found you through Adam Carolla.
I love it.
How you, you know, this very logical, rational, very religious man comes up with this atheist comedian off the top of his head kind of guy. Hilarious, but not at all. He's your photo negative. How did you and Adam Carolla come to be not only work together, but friends?
It turns out that's probably Adam's favorite subject. How did Dennis Prager and I get together, given how utterly different our backgrounds are, just as you described? I mean, he goes further, and of course, in his inimitable way, I have heard him do this maybe 20 times, and I still laugh. Being with Adam, my biggest challenge is just not laughing the whole time. That he is that funny. He points out he grew up lower class, dysfunctional, Gentile, atheist, on government subsidy house. I grew up in a middle class Jewish home in New York. You know, functional home, intellectually oriented, and everything else, and religious. And here we are. We're kindred spirits on every issue. I mean, it's just eerie. And his contention is this is where common sense brings you. He calls it common sense, which is fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. But we end up in the same place. Yes, it's true. So I think he's moving from atheism to agnosticism. But listen, if all religious people had his values, the world would be a great place. He is much closer to religious truths about life than many religious people are. But anyway, we found each other, and it has been a total blessing. People will laugh and cry and both at the same time in this movie. I have no problem in saying it is a great movie because I didn't make it. I'm in it, but I didn't make it, so I'm not telling you anything about me. It is a great movie, and people, I think, should feel morally obligated to view it, because if Hollywood is not rewarded for producing conservative films, and there are a lot of liberals in this film, by the way, and it's not just a documentary, it really is a movie, then the message is, we'll only get stuff from the left from Hollywood. So No Safe Spaces opens in Phoenix in the last weekend of October, and then goes around the country. NoSafeSpaces.com for information.
Now, one of the things you talk about in your speech today, and you talked about a lot, and it rings true in the movie, the difference between liberalism and leftism. You have Dr. Cornel West from Harvard in the movie. He is somebody that if you sat down across from me, I worked at the Heritage Foundation, I worked at Americans for Tax Reform, I worked at the Daily Caller, I'm not going to agree with him on very much, except for maybe the time of day. But he is an old-fashioned liberal in the sense that he wouldn't like what I have to say, but he absolutely believes in my right to say it. That concept, so important, because it's not popular speech that needs protection in this country. Why would it? It's popular. That is going the way of the dodo in this country. Ultimately, that is going to lead to a very, very bad place. Forget safe spaces. That's going to lead to a bad place. And that's what the documentary is about, the threat to free speech. Could you just opine a little bit? You're very well read. You're very knowledgeable on a million different subjects. When did there's always been a threat to free speech. When did it become so ingrained in one political party to the point that you have, you know, people at the town hall the other day, the LGBTQ town hall, Beto O'Rourke saying essentially, forget religious liberty, I'm going to strip you of all tax exemption if you do not support gay marriage, for example, just to paraphrase it. He's basically prioritizing rights, which is bizarre. When did it become so ingrained in the culture of the left that now it is where it is now, that it actually the concept of free speech could well be on the ballot come next November?
It happened when the left took over the universities, the media, and the Democratic Party. Liberals, as you have pointed out and I pointed out, liberals always believed in free speech. The left has never believed in it, from Lenin to the left today. And that's it. That's the answer. leftism ruins everything it touches. That is one of the most important insights that I could ever offer anyone to understand the world. Everything. Music, art, college, high school, elementary school, Judaism, Christianity, football, late night comedy, there is childhood. There is nothing the left touches it doesn't poison. It is an utterly corrupting and destructive force, and it brooks no challenge. If you oppose it, they will destroy you. That is their view. They will destroy you. They will fire you. They will Kavanaugh you. It did not matter to these leftists that they were smearing a good man. To conservatives, this is like, you got to be kidding. You don't think that this might be wrong, what you're doing? This man has led an utterly honorable life. It doesn't bother them. That is the amazing thing. It would bother us. We don't have an example of doing this to somebody. This is what they do. It is an evil force, leftism.
Along those lines, you're in talk radio. You've seen cable news. You're aware of it. There are gutter snipes on the left that are explicitly there. They exist to punish thought, speech that they dislike. Groups like Media Matters for America. If you say something that they can take out of context, your speech today, I'm sure if I sat down with an edited a video of it, I could find a 30-second clip that I could frame in a new way and make sure that Dennis Prager is a Nazi, which is one of the things you talked about. The word Nazi having been bastardized, raped, as you put it, to the point that it lost all meaning. Can we win this fight? Can conservatives win this fight when you're dealing with people who, A, have no rules except win by any stretch of the imagination, and they take the means by which we communicate, the very means by which they communicate, and change the definition of words based on the political expedience of the moment? They've gone from book burning en masse to burning the dictionary one word at a time and rewriting it. When the conservative side is looking at it as, well, we don't want to stoop to their level, there's a lot of really, we'll take the high road mentality on the right, and the high road just gives you a great view on your way to losing. Do you have hope? Because for my money, my lifetime, conservatism is more about slowing the decline than reversing it. They come out with Obamacare. And rather than argue that the federal government has no role in healthcare and should not be involved in this whatsoever, they say, no, here's our version. They say, we'll give you a dollar if you vote for us. We say, here's 50 cents if you vote for us. Well, logically, you might win a couple of elections based on principle, but sooner or later, you're going to say, why am I voting for the guy who's giving me 50 cents when I can vote for the guy who's giving me a dollar? I don't see any path back, really. Maybe it's just the pessimist in me, but I'd like your thoughts on that.
You said that, is there any hope? So, to reinforce your pessimism, I will tell you one of the great lines of my life. It was told to me in my 20s. I used to visit Israel almost every year, and I had a sort of mentor, a rabbi named Pinchas Pelli. I would live at his home. So I'll never forget it, where it took place. It was at a gas station. And he told me of a story. In the early days of Israel, it was very hard to get a phone because it was a very poor country. So he says to the guy at the, the telephone ministry or whatever it was, he said, sir, when will I get my phone? The guy says, 6 months from now. So he said to the guy, 6 months? Is there any hope that I can get it in less than 6 months? And he said, the guy told me, Dennis, sir, there's always hope. There's no chance. So I have committed that to memory all of my life. There's always hope. There's no chance. So that just reinforces your pessimism. I just had to tell you this story because whenever anybody asks me, is there hope? It's like a Pavlovian response to tell this story. There is hope if we fight. I'm a fighter, and you know, through all the things that I do, PragerU, the most recent, we have a billion views, and then we know. Listen, we know, and they know, that the more young people who view our videos, and 65% of the views are people under 35, the more that we will change their minds. Because in 5 minutes, it's not propaganda. In 5 minutes, it's, hey, hello, have you considered this fact? We have 5 minutes. They have 17, 21 years from elementary school through college, and they still can't stand that we have 5 minutes. Isn't that interesting? They have an indoctrination period of 20 years, and we're given 5 minutes, and we can undo 20 years in 5 minutes. Because when you tell somebody, just so you'll know, here's a fact. Only capitalism has ever taken people out of poverty. Because only capitalism has ever produced wealth. Socialism has never produced wealth. So if you care about poor people, you must be pro-capitalist. That's it. That's not a debatable question. So when we present very powerful facts, we have hope, and we're not the only ones doing it. You're doing it. Listen, I have more hope today than I did 10 years ago, to be honest, because of the of places like you and me and so many others. We're not the only ones doing good work. Thank God. I don't want to be the only one. It'd be frightening. And obviously this movie, I think this movie can shake people out of their lethargy. So I beg people to see it, even just for Save America reasons. But the truth is, just see it because it's a great movie. But no safe spaces. And it's part of this. We're fighting. You're fighting. This is a big deal. But not enough people fight. There is the Never Trumper is to me a total puzzle. You don't like the way the president speaks? Neither do I. That's a non sequitur. So what? What is the alternative? The alternative is a Democrat leftist who you like the way they speak? Are you a fool? Hillary Clinton, who is way more crooked than him, but didn't speak, but spoke more genteelly than he did. I mean, this is an incredibly stupid form of elitism. I don't like that he said, you know, that Biden kissed Obama's rear. I don't want to talk that way as a president. I don't want to talk that way as a talk show host. But okay, it is what it is. He is the alternative. He has done so much good that to expect more good, even in his rhetoric, is to be a child. Is to say, oh, my daddy is flawed, but your father is really terrific. Yeah, but he said a curse word the other day.
It's kind of interesting because if you look at the Obama administration, President Obama gave very flowery speeches that everybody fawned over, swooned over. They loosened their collar. They engaged their fainting couches. Oh, he's so absolutely wonderful. He's a champion for this country. Meanwhile, his Justice Department was actually literally spying on journalists, a threat to the First Amendment. Donald Trump sends a tweet that is not legally binding. I don't know, maybe that's breaking news to the people at CNN, being critical of CNN, or sends out a meme where somebody with a CNN logo superimposed on their head is getting tackled by Donald Trump back in the old WWF days. And that is a serious, serious threat to the First Amendment, to the Constitution, to our very republic. There is something about Donald Trump, and I'm curious, is it just simply Trump derangement syndrome, where Barack Obama's actual actions were mostly ignored or polished over, but Donald Trump's actions are ignored, which are very conservative, have been very successful, led to 3.5% unemployment, a booming economy. It's his words that are not legally binding, that are not acted upon. The Democrats seized on the fact that he talked privately about firing Robert Mueller. He's the president of the United States. He could have picked up the phone and fired Robert Mueller right then. He didn't do it. It's like me saying, I wish I had a pony, but you know, not going and draining my bank account and buying a pony. There's two different things. When it's the left, the words are flowery and they focus on those and ignore the actions. And when it's Trump, it is ignore the actions, which have led to good results, but focus intently like a laser beam on the words and talk about how words are somehow a threat and almost worse than actions.
See, you give me hope. You do. That was beautifully said. That's exactly right. I really have nothing to add. First, they changed the rules depending on who's president. It's like there were bumper stickers during the Bush era in L.A. where I live. Dissent is patriotic. And I noted on the radio that within about 2 months of Barack Obama being elected, I saw no dissent is patriotic bumper stickers. So they're phony. Whatever they say, look, truth is not a left-wing value. I made that case in my speech here. And I prove it every day when I point out some terrible lie that they live by. Like America's racist, one of the greatest lies in human history. It's the least racist country in the world, where there are obviously multiple races. But so you're right. So what's important, words or actions? That's why I, as a religious thinker, I have a Bible commentary out, which is pretty extensive. As a religious thinker, I explain to people there is no comparison between what is said privately and what is said publicly, let alone what is done. Therefore, I had no interest in the Planet Hollywood? No, not Planet Hollywood. What was the name of the tapes of the president saying what he would do, what you can do? Access Hollywood. I had no interest. I have no interest in what people say privately. Harry Truman called Jews kikes in his private correspondence, and he was the man who made Israel possible when he recognized the first world leader to recognize Israel against the entire State Department, which was pro-Arab. Nothing's changed. So the same with the tapes of Richard Nixon about Jews. And then saved Israel's life in the 73 Yom Kippur War. Literally saved Israel's life by sending its shipments. So what do I care what you say privately? It is a combination of their being fools and dishonest that they make a big deal about what people say privately. By the way, I hold this for liberals too. I wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal when it came out that Hillary Clinton said to a Jewish employee who, when her husband lost a congressional race, I think it was in Arkansas early on, something Jew, she called him, and I said, I don't judge a person by what they say privately, and I used her as an example. I said, I don't think she's an anti-Semite. I'm not interested what she said privately. We live in the age of non-wisdom. Because the left is in charge and it has no wisdom, and because people are well educated and they were taught how not to think clearly in college.
I want to ask you about you've written several books on the Bible, the Rational Bible, translating it into normal human language and expanding upon it. This election cycle seems a little bit different. Generally, the left is very secular in nature, but we have now they're making a moral case for progressive policies, for climate change, for whatever. Mayor Pete Buttigieg is out there essentially appointing himself Pope, saying that it's a moral thing to support his policies and really trying to frame it and trying to reach out to evangelicals in particular. As you're not an evangelical, but you probably know more about it than most evangelicals. I could go wrestle into a headlock right now. I'm just curious, when you hear Mayor Pete try to make the case for moral progressivism, what runs through your mind that is clean enough for a podcast?
Well, the first thing that runs through my mind is that anything the left touches, it ruins. They're ruining religion. I think the Pope is ruining Catholicism in our time. He's a leftist. I think that the left has ruined non-Orthodox Judaism and mainstream Protestantism. All they do is they have their values, and then they say, these are Christian values, these are Jewish values. So it's easy. Whatever they believe is, whatever Buttigieg believes, is a Christian value. All of a sudden, it's a biblical value. Does he believe that the Bible believes that God created male and female, and only male and female, or does he believe there are 56 genders? That's a Bible. That's a Bible quote, right? I'm curious. I mean, it's such absurdity. He cares what the Bible says. I was going to say I care what the Bhagavad Gita says, but it's not true. I have more respect for the Bhagavad Gita than he does for the Bible, which is fine. I don't mind if it's a non-issue, but it is a non-issue. I much prefer people who say, I have contempt for the Bible. I don't agree with it. I think it's a primitive, late Bronze Age document, and you're a fool if you listen to it. I respect that. But I have contempt for people like Buttigieg who pervert what is written. That's the destruction of religion. The people who hate religion, who have contempt for it, don't destroy it. The people who misquote it, destroy it.
I want to move into, as we wrap it up here, your battle with YouTube. You've got the movie No Safe Spaces, which is about the fight for free speech. You're in a fight for your speech right now. It's not against the government yet, but it is a situation where Prager University, it's great. You've, like you said, a billion views a year, hundreds of videos, very short snippets. It's everybody. It's not just Dennis Prager sitting there. You've got Adam Carolla. You've got a whole bunch. You've got a CNN contributor on there you talked about. I watched that one about Donald Trump praising the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, which was a lie. You just read the transcript of what he said and you see. But media has trouble with transcripts, apparently. You have 100 videos that are deemed not banned from YouTube, but are deemed almost too hot for YouTube. They require age verification. They are subject sensitive. You spoke about one that involved the Ten Commandments because it mentioned murder. When you first started getting these notifications, do you know how that came about? Because these videos sort of all, did they all come at once that they were suddenly restricted? They realized that you existed and said, pick this one, pick this one, pick this one? Or was it over each one individually over time that they came together? And what is the status of that fight? You get YouTube to acknowledge that they've said this is beyond the pale, even though they control where the pale is. What comes next in the fight? Because if they can do this to something that is educational and rational and not obscene, like Prager University, they could do this to anybody, really.
Well, they can do it to anybody. That's the whole point. That's why if we lose, they will do it to anybody. We're the tip of the spear, and there's no more spear left if they win this one. It's a very serious battle. How we found out about it, I, to the best of my knowledge, let's put it that way, all of a sudden we were getting emails from people, I can't see your latest video. We put out one a week. And we didn't understand. We had no idea what was happening. And we got so many reports, and finally we realized there was one commonality. They all had filters to filter out violence and pornography. But it was hard for us to believe that anything we put out could be, by any normal mind, considered either pornographic or violent. But it was. Look, if Google says they don't want kids to hear thou shalt not murder, they could say anything they want, and they could say nothing. They've explained none of them. The only one they ever explained was thou shalt not murder. They've not explained one other ban or placement on the restricted list. So, as I said, if they get away with it with us, it's going to be a dark age informationally.
Scary, scary times. No Safe Spaces starts in Phoenix the end of this month. The website, nosafespaces.com, and check that out. It's, if you're sending kids to colleges or you're ready to go to college yourself, you need to learn to sharpen your elbows, and I think this will be a good primer for it. Dennis, thank you so much for your time, and have a great weekend.
It's a joy to be with you. Keep up the good work.
There you go. Me with Dennis Prager. I really enjoyed him. I don't think he knows who I am. He couldn't pick me out of a lineup, but I appreciate him telling me to keep doing what I'm doing without him fully knowing what I'm doing. But I will keep doing what I'm doing because I got nothing better to do. What are you going to do? Anyway, you can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. Compliments, complaints, whatever you got. I hope the sound wasn't too terrible. We'll be back with a regular program tomorrow because that's how we roll. It's just a holiday, and I'm going to take care of the kids and spend some time with the family. It's one of the benefits. One of the few things about Washington, D.C. is the lesser holidays are everything shuts down. Whereas, you know, back my normal working days, I had to work on Columbus Day because it was Columbus Day. What are you going to do? Take a day off for Columbus Day? No. So that's what I'm going to do. Again, email me all you want. I will respond when I have the time. By the way, if you've won a book recently, they're all going in the mail today or tomorrow since the post office is closed today. So you've got that going for you. And Quinn, you have anything you want to say? Come here. Nope. Nope. Got nothing to say?
Where's the TV go?
Where'd the TV go? The TV's sitting right there.
No smell. Look at the bubble.
All right. Well, there you go. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Have a great Monday.
Where's the TV go?